All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2 all afternoon. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. A beautiful Thursday afternoon. Took a while, but the sun's out, feeling good, looking good, and battling along through the week. How we feeling?
Good. I mean, I don't know if you guys were able to tee it because it was kind of garbage this morning, was it not?
Yeah, it wasn't the best weather. Was not the best weather.
Are we going to use weather as an excuse for something?
Uh-oh.
No,
Uh-oh.
We
Did something happen here? What
possibly
happened?
Possibly do to... that. Well, I mean, before we get to that, we
Dude,
should
just
mention...
be honest, brother. Your game is in the trash can right now.
Yeah, it's not in the best place.
Not the best.
Since the collapse, you have been in the trash can, and you have to come to terms with it. Because I got a message from Tux like 3 weeks ago saying, this man is so dangerous, taking everyone's money. Then after you went Vandeveld, it's been lights out the wrong way.
I've been an ATM out there. It's been awful.
Vandeveld.
Awful. Absolutely awful. But I'll blame the weather. Like, Tiger today, not Dude. Talking about the weather, but was four over, but after the round was talking about his leg, which, listen, he had legitimate... You know, significant injuries, clearly, massive surgeries. He almost lost his leg.
Right.
But when he birdied the first hole, he
it was all good.
Kind of strutting, and then he was 2 under, I believe. You know, what was that, 4 or 5 holes into his round? He's 2 under, and all of a sudden I'm like, man, Tiger looks like he's really moving.
Feeling it, eh?
And then the wheels fell off. He ends up 4 over on the round.
Dude,
and...
he did the same thing at Augusta National, and nobody in the media at the event has the balls to call him out on it. And I was talking on Twitter with Aaron Oberholzer today, and it's like, man, Tiger doesn't look right. And I wrote back and I said, Aaron, maybe because he's slapping it around. And he wrote, well, not that he's slapping it around. It seems like health related. And I just didn't want to get into it. I'm like, both are connected. When he slaps it around, just like Torrey Pines 5 or 6 years ago, when he was grabbing his ass cheek, when he had the yips chipping, it was like, oh God, my ass is blown out. My hamstrings
weren't shooting. His glutes,
yeah, his glutes weren't firing.
They wouldn't fire.
He had the chipping yips. It wasn't about his bum cheeks.
Yeah, you're right. And you know the amazing thing about today is that John Daly beat him by 2 shots. John Daly finished 2 over.
Did he have the card or not?
I believe he did, but I may have, like, prematurely sent you guys the text because I was like, Daly's on fire. And that was
he
at
was.
6. Well, I mean, I was watching. They would cut to Daly. I'm like, this guy's.
There he is. Just cruising. Look at him just... going through the bunkers and the greens.
Dude,
oh, my
that
God.
Is, should be roped off at all times. And this guy's Donald Trump on the cart.
That's what I mean. Like, he's literally. And it's almost like he's golfing with not a care in the world. Like, he just gets up there, hits it, and he
was... I want to see that more.
Yeah, that's a loop all day.
He was literally, like, dropping balls, like, right by the hole. He looked good.
He looked great.
And then he ended up +2, I believe, correct?
Yeah, but you're right, though, Noodles. At one point, like, he was 2 under. He was the first one out. I'm pretty sure the TV networks, like, the partners were told, don't show this guy in the cart. You know when a streaker runs on the field and they never show it? It's like, we don't want to encourage that type of activity. It's almost like they don't want to encourage people.
Show him again, Joe, wheeling around the bunkers. They don't want this anywhere near a TV.
There's no way a cart should be in between the greens and the bunkers at a PGA championship.
While his playing partners are way back in the fairway walking around in the heat.
Why is he going there? Like, is he looking for his ball? Like, what is he doing?
This is a tee block. He's on the tee block right now with his cart.
He couldn't care less. He's a former winner. There was a great thread that was tweeted out. Will Brinson's a football guy. He generally writes about football, I think, for CBS. And I guess like 10 years ago, 12 years ago or whatever, he got a special assignment. I think he's like a North Carolina or South Carolina guy. There must have been a tournament down there. And he was told to go and follow Daly around. And do not take your eyes off this guy and come up with the post-round analytics. Like, tell us what this guy's up to.
Yeah.
And he said, at the end of the round, like, he was watching him distinctly. This was like 10 or 12 years ago when he was in much better shape. Can you imagine what he's been doing out there today? He said at the end of the round, he was following him. John Daly had 21 cigarettes, 12 Diet Cokes, 6 packs of peanut M&Ms, and 0 ounces of water. Not one sip of water. That was his analytics.
That's today?
John Daly. No, this was years ago. So it's probably worse now. Like, this, that was when he was, I want to say Brinson was talking about that. It was like a decade ago he was covering him. And it was back in 08. It was at the Wyndham Championship in 08. That was 14 years ago. He's probably even more darts, even more Diet Cokes, way more peanut M&Ms.
I'm calling that guy out. For 18 holes, it's almost impossible to have 21 heaters. Because you are ridiculous. I know a guy that can blow a dart a hole. But that's it. It's like a little par 3 that's 120 yards. Like,
but let me ask you this, though. Is he one of those guys that maybe lights it and then before he goes to hit, like, puts it out and then instead of just grabbing it, fires up another one?
It's kind
you
of
know
a
what
half
I mean?
Dart. Yeah, he's very
kind of a half dart, chucks it. And, but yeah, the 12 Diet Cokes, the analytics on this
that's
is ridiculous.
Crazy.
Like, for me, does he have a little scorecard? Like, did Will Brinson have a scorecard and go, there's another cig, there's another Diet Coke, and there's the peanut M&Ms, too.
That's,
like, that's quite impressive.
I'm talking about a six-pack of – do you know how heavy those things are?
That's Chris Christie. Remember, wasn't it Chris Christie at the game? He had the giant, giant box
of
M&Ms.
Well, he was pouring a bag of M&Ms into a box of M&Ms, Chris Christie.
Right.
But – like, we're talking.
Oh, my God. Ken, it's Friday, man. Or it's not Friday. It's Thursday. I need to get the video of Chris Christie pouring a box of M&Ms into another box of M&Ms.
Yeah, we can find that. That's
it's
totally
out there,
necessary.
For sure. But that's what I keep thinking of. Like, you have a snack. We all have little snacks or whatever. But if that's your comfort food, like, that is – it's actually gross.
Well, like, again, based on these analytics, Brinson is not a guy that you know, lacks integrity or whatever. He's a journalist. He covers sports.
Right.
Those were his facts, you know, back in the day in 08. So you're talking at least a cigarette a hole, a Diet Coke every hole and a half, and a pack of peanut M&Ms every third hole.
Wow.
That was John Daly back in the day. And who knows what he's been doing today. But he finishes his round two over. He'll shoot 84 tomorrow and leave, and that'll be it. But honestly, with Tiger Woods going 4 over now, I don't think he's going to make the cut. You know, like, he's got to go really low tomorrow. And, oh, you called that 2 days ago, but then yesterday you picked him with the first pick.
Yeah,
so.
I know, because it was both things. It's like the 2 under, I was like, I'm glad I'm on my team. But then the limp starts and all the nonsense, and it's like, this guy's missing the cut. So my first call, my original instincts were correct. This guy is not playing. And it's almost like he looks at a leaderboard when he's, I don't know, he looks and he sees Rory. Well, he played with the guy that was leading, Rory McIlroy. He was in the same group, and he's like, I'm 4 over, and this guy's 5 under. I already know that I have 0 chance.
Yeah, that's the ask.
So his give-a-crap meter tomorrow should be interesting to watch.
Yeah, because he knows he can't win the tournament now, right?
That's right. He always said himself, you can't win it on Thursday, but you can certainly lose it, and that's exactly what he's done.
Well, we got Strutty coming up later this hour, and I'm curious how we're supposed to react to the Battle of Alberta last night, because
that was
1984.
Crazy.
You know, like, that was one of the craziest games you're going to see. That reminded me of that Penguins Flyers series a decade ago. Remember when
it was 10-8 or something like that?
Rizgalov were just going back and forth, and I always think about what you always say and what you used to say about goalies back in the day, Noodles, that it wasn't about giving up goals. It was making the stops when you needed to.
Right.
And I was trying to apply that logic. Like, if that game happened in 1982, would Markstrom be the third star? Like, would he be like, hey, yeah, he gave up 6, but, man, he made some stops when he had to when they got that lead again in the third period.
I don't.
Like,
I would.
Would
say
that have been
no.
the case back in the early '80s? I hope not. He was awful last night. They were both terrible.
He was, but I would say the only difference in, you know, when I watched in the '80s and, you know, early '90s, and that Grant Fuhrer, the Oilers always seemed to win 7-4. and the game would be close, and fears he'd give up a five-hole goal, and you're like, all right, here we go. And the game is, the Oilers would always be 4-1, and then they would get to 4-3 or 4-4, and then fears he would lock it down. He'd stop two breakaways, and that's what I'm talking about, his timely saves. That was a 9-2 game last night that ended up 9-6 because the goalie wasn't great. Because
right. I mean, maybe not 9. If Edmonton had a goalie with a pulse, it should have been like 6-2 maybe. Like,
well, the thing is, though,
the first goal was one of the worst goals you'll ever see.
Well, it's terrible. But like, here's the thing. If you look at the numbers, the analytics, the Oilers gave up 27 slot shots. Like, that is
– not good.
It's not good. It's Louis. It's not the best. Like, most teams give up, what, 10, to maybe 15 in a night? 27. Like, that was a dreadful defensive performance from the Oilers. I thought the Flames were really good. That top line was buzzing. Like, it did just, the game seemed closer just because of Markstrom. Like, because that was, for me, with the rate that they were scoring, like, that was a blowout. You're right. Maybe Mike Smith or Koskinen make a couple more saves, but that's a 6-1 or 2.
Oh, it was on paper. Like, it was a worthy result in terms of who got the win in the end. You don't see 6 goals let up. You don't see 9. Like, when do you see that at any point? Yeah. And, yes, you know, those stats are 100% legit. But, like, the first goal was an awful one. I thought the Richie goal, because it was Richie, he just shot it and it went right through him and hit him in the middle of the net. He had to come out. They had to pull him. Well, and I guess if you're Woodcroft, he came out today and said Smith is back in there for game 2. And I think that's reasonable based on how Koskinen played.
And
he gave up 6.
That's going to be the whole series, Hayes. If Mike Smith goes out there in the first period without his equipment on again, the series is going to be over because you can't go back to him. And the other guy, I don't know if he can go in there and do the job. So it's going to be a nervous, tense, like 10 or 15 minutes to see what he's going to bring to the table to see if he can respond. Because if he can't make a save, it's going to be awfully difficult.
Well, you know what? We've had this conversation. This conversation we had in game 1. We had this, you know, last series where Mike Smith gives the goal away and you're like, oh my God, you know, the Oilers are in one. And he responded. Like,
yeah, he did.
I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt. I thought he was terrible last night. I thought the team was terrible. Darnell Nurse went out with his gear.
They were brutal
like they're,
last night.
They're
Kane,
defense,
all of them. Kane was terrible.
And yet they
could
have won the game. Like, that's what's crazy, is they could have won the game.
Well, it was 6-6.
Exactly.
Like, early in the third period, it was 6-6. You're like, okay, I don't know how this has happened, but they're in it. And right away, within a minute, they gave up the 7-6 goal where they get running around their own zone, the dog park defense, and the goalie gives up one through the body. Like, there were so many goals last night where you're just kind of, like, cringing as a goalie, because I've been there. I've given up crappy goals. And the thing for me, if I'm a Calgary Flames fan, that's the worst you're going to get from Markstrom. He's going to respond. And they won.
Yes.
So, Daryl Sutter, I loved his what did he say? So I was talking to the guys about –
and they wanted more goals or something
like that?
Yeah,
he said something like they said our last series was boring. So I told the guys we've got to score 7 to 10 goals, you know, and allow them to have 5 to 8. Like, it was a pretty funny quote. But, you know, that's a game tape that you burn for both sides. But Calgary will take a 1-0.
But it's a win. Yeah, it's a win. And there was Brady Tkachuk last night, again, walking through the crowd, beers in his hand, beers in the back pocket, and he's the number one fan. And I'm curious if he'll make the trip to Edmonton. Like, will he go? I don't know
if
he should.
He's probably checking out after Calgary.
I would suggest he probably should, because what you don't need is, like, if you're going there, I think it's got to be luxury suite. I think it has. I don't think you can be in the stands in Edmonton, because I just wouldn't trust an Oilers fan being like, I'm gooned
throw
up
a beer on
whatever,
him or
and I'm
do
gonna
something
yeah.
Stupid,
you
want to
be a super fan for Calgary? You're in the wrong building.
He'll probably wait till it gets back to Calgary, or it's a luxury box. They're not. They've been around long enough where they know that routine.
Yeah, you can't have him in the seats going.
No,
nuts
you get some guy with a mustache
jersey
that had 10 heroin beers, and you're gonna have issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then
especially
you got a story.
Guys.
Captain
guys,
of Ottawa Senators.
I'm astonished. I'm astonished that people are like, "Why is the captain of Ottawa?" Like, do they have any idea? These guys are brothers. They're best friends. Like, give your head a shake if you're questioning why he's there or having a good time.
I think it's cool. Yeah, I think it's really cool.
Yeah. You know what?
But I'm not a Sens fan, so I don't know. I mean, maybe in Ottawa it is a different feeling. I'm not sure, but
I don't think so.
I think it's cool.
I've talked to a few people out of Ottawa. I think if you sat back and, you know, had some emotion about it and be like, optically, does that look great to have your captain, you know, wearing a Flames jersey, all of that? Like, but then you look at it from a, you know, from a logical standpoint, which people should. That's his brother, and he's happy for his brother. He's not playing. Like, it's not like he's injured and sitting up there and that's right. his team playing against his brother and he's cheering that his brother got a hat trick. I think the star was the dad who didn't throw the hat. That Obie Clark's hat. That, like, that bar is a hockey bar. Obie Clark, that's Chaser's, like, hunt,
it was
right?
so
like,
funny seeing Walt say, "No, I'm not throwing my hat. This
my
is
favorite
my favorite
hat." It's like, that's my favorite hat. I'm not throwing it on the ice. Like, that's actually funny. That stole the night for me.
Speaking of which, because I couldn't pick up on it when we first came on, but is that the NHL hat you're wearing right now? Are you going Rob Lowe on this show?
That's your Rob Lowe outfit.
I am going. So I've got two. This is kind of a grayish color, and then there's a black one. I'm not sure which one I should be.
That's a cool-looking hat, man.
I think it's cool. So, full disclosure.
Two good-looking
guys. If I
guys.
Just sat there in the stands, and I believe my seats tomorrow are right kind of by the Kachucks, because that's kind of friends and family, and that's mm-hmm. where I believe. If the party's going on and the camera just pans, do I just sit there like Rob Lowe with the hat on?
Yes. I think you have to.
So they are going to the game. Is that what you're saying,
but
Noodles?
It's in Calgary tomorrow.
I don't, well, the game's in Calgary.
Oh, yeah,
tomorrow.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
I don't. I'm assuming they are, but I believe that section is friends and family, and I'm leaning on a few friends and family to get tickets. So I believe, but I don't know if I wear this hat or I've got Al hooked me up, our buddy Al Kimmel.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you just go straight black with the logo.
No, the other one. The other
one. This
one? You can see the logo better.
The other one's more noticeable, for sure. Yeah. Like, you could tell that's the NHL. The other one
you got to dig in to see what's on that other one.
Yeah, I mean, they're both fantastic. And
so what happens if there's a hat trick tomorrow night? Do you throw that on the ice?
Why would I do that?
Come on,
it doesn't matter.
Throw it on the ice. It'd be great if there's an NHL hat on the ice.
I can't believe the amount of people that do that, Hayes. I just don't get it.
Hats
I like,
are so expensive.
I like hats. Like, I wear hats. If I had a nice hat that I like, I ain't throwing it out there.
Have you guys ever, and admit this honestly, have you ever thrown a hat on the ice? Ever?
No, I haven't.
I used to play in the NHL. I'm not doing that.
I know, but you walk around with an alumni coat on. Like, you,
so
there
what?
Is a,
that's a there, totally different ballgame. A completely different ballgame.
There is a layer of, like, you know, you get excited. You're like, I'm not as excitable as you when it comes to certain teams. That's just not me.
I get excited, but I don't think I don't generally wear a hat to the game.
Yeah.
But if I did, it would depend on where you are. Like, if you're up on the top shelf, that's not making it to the ice. Like, what's the point of throwing it if you can't get it on the ice, right? Like, it's got to make it to the ice. But I've always been of the impression that you can go and retrieve the hat afterwards.
But what if it's a gross, like, your hat is the same as a Rick from
I'm just saying,
Port,
like,
you know.
I think you could
Ron
you could
from
talk.
Hamilton with a skullet. Your hats are, like, the insides are touching.
What's wrong with that? Ron's got a... He's got a skullet. It's probably, you know.
Yeah, but he's had a lather on all day, and, like, that hat has got salt. You know, Sidney Crosby has a hat that's got, like, salt all over it from, like,
Ron
sweat.
From Hamilton's salt in his hat is from.
The John
I don't know what.
It's from softball in the summer, and he's worn
yes.
it for 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, like, I've never worn a cap to. I mean, I wear a cap all the time, but I've never thrown it. And
I haven't either.
I never
I
would.
Mean,
but there are people, like, would you have done it? Okay, here's the question. You're at Matthews' 60-goal game, and a lot of people, I believe, threw their hats, did they
yeah,
not?
Yeah, they did, yep.
Okay, so you got a good seat. You're where the tanning bed king sits, right behind Sheldon there. Would you throw your hat?
I don't think I would, but I guess it would depend on the hat, you know what I mean? Like, it would depend on what hat you're wearing. If it's just some hat you got for free, which I don't know why you'd be wearing something that you don't really care for if you're at the game, especially if you're right behind the bench.
Right.
But I don't think so. But I'm curious what would happen for me or for any of us to have that reaction. Like, if, right. oh, with you in the alumni jacket, if you were in the building and they won the cup, would you throw your alumni jacket on the ice?
Dude, are you high?
In celebration? Like, what would get you to get that alumni jacket?
Nothing.
Nothing. Game 7, triple OT, you wouldn't be like, I'm throwing this thing over the boards. Like, nothing.
No. Why would I throw my jacket over the boards?
Because it's an alumni jacket.
Like, imagine, ultimate... like, everyone's throwing hats, and all of a sudden...
Dude,
like,
I had mine custom made.
An alumni jacket. I think it'd be the coolest move. I think it'd be a cool... You'd get that back. You know someone would go down there and be like, this is
Jeff
Oh,
really? You think
jacket.
The guy that we just mentioned, Ron from Hamilton with the skullet, you think he fires that thing on and says, I got to return this?
That would be really cool. That'd be hilarious if Ron from Hamilton all of a sudden was walking around with your alumni jacket.
Dude, he's downtown Hamilton, I afraid he skull it back in the day, and he's wheeling around trying to do some damage.
Oh, yeah, right to Cops Coliseum on a Friday night.
I think it'll be – we'll see what game two brings.
He'll have a great time out there. Yeah.
Well, that's
it'll be different than last night. I mean, at a minimum, it'll be a different game than last night. I mean, it's not going to be 9-6 again.
I don't think it's going to be 2-1. I'm thinking like a 5-3 empty netter type of thing.
I could see that.
I think there's going to be – because McDavid's not going to slow down. Like, I don't know if Darryl was just pumping his tires today, but I didn't disagree. Like, McDavid was one of the most noticeable consistent players last night, and he'll got hit.
Moving.
He got hit a few times. Like, Calgary was targeting him. He got hit 3 times in one period. I don't think he's been hit 3 times all year consistently by the same team. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's going to feel it this round. Like, Calgary is going to lean into him pretty hard.
As they should. They have to. You know, you have to. But, yeah, it won't be 9-6, but I'm with you. I don't really expect a 1-0 game or 2-1. I think the emotions continue to stay high. I think goals go in. I think Mike Smith will determine that.
And both of these teams can score.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that Goudreau line had 8 points last night. Like, they're pretty good. You know, statistically, they were the best 5-on-5 line in the NHL this year. So, like, that's – they're not just going to drop off out of nowhere. Now that Tkachuk is on fire, like, he's got 4 goals in the last 2 games. And he was really –
if he's playing mean and agitating like he was last night and scoring goals, like, that's the kind of thing that can really – you know, trigger a long run for a team, you know, among many other things, clearly. But, like, that's something that can kind of symbolize it. Like, look at the way this guy plays, because he's going to piss off the opposition every single night.
Right,
like, it's
right.
one thing to have to battle with that guy all the time. If he starts scoring goals, you're like, man, this guy's not only doing this to us, he's celebrating, and there's nothing we can do. You got to chew on it.
Well, you forget, like, people forget he was a 100-point guy this
Absolutely.
Year. Absolutely. You know, like, score 40 goals,
40
and got 100
snipes.
Points. And then you back it up with the agitation. And that's why people in Calgary were talking about Tkachuk, you know, early on in the Dallas series, fighting like John Klingberg and, you know, Hintz. And, like, you know, you're like, he's actually taking himself out of a rhythm, and you're getting sucked in by the emotion instead of kind of that fine line. And I think he's back to that fine line. He was in game 7 and certainly was in game 1.
It's such an effective playoff performance. When you have that, when you have physicality, you have agitation, and you're a guy who can play.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
exactly what you're looking for. So, yeah, that was a big win, Carolina, in overtime. See, they're doing the storm surge again. Like, have they been doing that the whole time after wins?
They always do it after
a
win.
They don't do the goofy,
corny stuff where they're, like, jumping around. I think they just acknowledge the crowd.
Okay, yeah, because they were all around, you know, center ice last night, which was, like, I wasn't surprised. I just wasn't sure if they were doing that every single game. I guess only when you win at home you can really do it. But, and Antti Raanta, like, Freddie Anderson, who? It doesn't matter. Freddie's not around.
Wow.
Antti Raanta just continues to stand on a set and pick up wins.
They, you know what the best thing, too, is I was worried for them because I thought, okay, Shesterkin, like, 2 minutes left, Aho scored. Like, it was 1-0, right? They stuck with it. And then you knew it was going to be a moldy goal. Cole throws it towards the net. I think it hit Lindgren's stick. But, like, Carolina played really, really well. Like, it, you know, it just it happens. And, yeah, it's, we're watching it right there. It hits the stick and goes down. But, you know, I was happy for them because I kind of felt like the Rangers might not steal one, but they might, you know, squeak out this 1-0 win type of thing.
Yeah.
So.
No, that was that's the start you're looking for if you're Carolina and Calgary. For sure.
Yeah.
And now you flip it over to tonight where, you know, it's
Tampa, man.
Must win for Florida. Like an absolute must-win for Florida. You can't drop both at home, I don't think, anyway.
No way, dude. No way.
Yeah, and it kind of feels like St. Louis has got to, even though they lost on overtime, they got really outplayed. They got to have a response tonight.
Yeah,
they do. For sure. So we've got Struddy coming up, and we'll get more into the Battle of Alberta with him. We got James Duffy coming up, our buddy Steve Sands. We're tracking the PGA Championship. The Jays are off tonight. Joey Votto and the Reds in town tomorrow. We'll start teeing that up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Noodles, so you're on your way out there for Game 2 tomorrow. Then you'll be in Edmonton, I believe, for Game 3. So you're doing the full tour of Alberta. And Jason Strudwick will be there with you, I believe, for Game 3.
We'll see. I mean, if he starts wearing the tight pant routine and all of that, I don't know if I can do it.
Can you imagine the looks in the Red Sea or whatever the hell they call it? Strutty just wore... like female,
spandex.
Yes, like tight man yoga pants and a tank top.
Just did the moonwalk right through the sea of
rock. I wonder if he would ever rock high tops, a man yoga, and a tight tank top.
Well, let's
and ask that
him.
Skullet.
Let's ask him. Here he is from TSN out in Edmonton, longtime NHLer, former Oiler himself, Jason Strudwick. What's the outfit looking like for Game 3, Strutty?
After last night, I better bring a lot to try to get people motivated, right? So
that's
you
right.
Might see the biker shorts come out, try to just get a little energy going for the group.
Well,
what do you mean
to...
the biker shorts? What does that entail?
Well, there entails a lot of tightness, my friend. You know, you almost spray them on. They're disposable. You wear them once and they're gone. They just disintegrate.
That's what it should be. A little butter to get those things on, and you're off to the races.
I think the Oilers needed your motivation. They needed you dancing behind the bench in a pair of spandex. Well,
hang on a second. I got to ask you guys. You guys are going to go to the game. You guys are 50 years old, and you're both ugly. Do you guys go to Cowboys after the game?
Well, okay.
We're ugly.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
I've always said I'm a 7 out of 20. I'm not a 7 out of 10, but at least my personality brings it up a little bit, especially if I've had a few bubblies. But we're not going to the game together on Friday. We're going to the Sunday night game in Edmonton. So
You're doubling down, Noodles. You're going Friday, Calgary, Sunday, Edmonton.
Sunday, Edmonton. I'm going to see family and take friends and all of that. So I'm just kind of Joe Fan. That's why I'm doing the Rob Lowe hat, because I'm not doing Calgary. I'm not doing Edmonton. There's no colors involved. There's no super fan involved. I'm just being a fan. But I'm going to sit with Strutty potentially. But he's a big star up there, so if he starts getting mobbed in that, I'm going to fade into the background.
He's going to Noodle's going to be Brady Tkachuk down there in Calgary. Get the fans rolling.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
We need to see that. We need to see that. We're trying to get him to throw that NHL hat onto the ice if there's a hat trick, because Keith Tkachuk wouldn't do it last night.
Who do you think would win in a race, 100-meter race? Keith Tkachuk or Jeff O'Neill or Jamie McLennan?
I've got quite
I think
feet,
Jamie McLennan would probably win that. And thanks for looping me into that.
Or Al's brother. Throw in Al's brother there, too.
Yeah, that's right. He won the race, so we know.
Too actually, much arm movement.
Yeah, there's a lot of athleticism there. What do you even say about last night, Strutty? I mean, what is the reaction to a game like that?
Oh, you know what? You go from game 6 and 7 where they're so disciplined and so structured to the game last night where it was just, it was wide open. And, I coach my son's hockey, and we have a lot of nights where they go scores end up 9-6. And I think that a lot of the same plays and decisions that were made on both sides, were reflected in that game. I just couldn't believe it. It was not what I expected at all, especially with the, Daryl Sutter on one side, and then, you've got Woodcroft on the other preaching, defense and defensive conscious and then being on the right side of the puck, and they weren't. They weren't at all. And then they battle back, and Markstrom kind of leaves the door open for them to battle back. They battle back, and then, you're in the third deck. My God, we have a chance to win this thing. We don't deserve it. We do not deserve this at all. But we have a chance to win. And then, boom, right away, goal. And then goal again. And it's just really surprising. And the guys are saying all the right things today. I get it. One loss. But, the defense, when they play tight defensively, their chance of winning go up exponentially. When they don't, you end up like you did in game 2 and 3 against LA, and then, last night, game 1 in Calgary.
Strutty, do you think Mike Smith responds here? I mean, he did it in the first series after his performance in game 1. or it was early in the series where he had to bounce back. Do you think he does it again? Because this guy, all eyes are going to be on him. I mean, I know they were brutal defensively, but there were some muffins, and he is under the gun, isn't he?
He is, and you know what I mean. It was game 4 and 5 last week, last series, where the Oilers were struggling, but defensively. But you're right. I think Mike Smith, he is a battler. You know, he's a real competitor. You know, and I'm not going to sit here and say that the moment's too big for the Oilers. They the first game against LA, same thing. They just weren't in sync. They weren't in rhythm. And then last night, you know, the quick goals. You know, George Cannon's voice was still echoing through the Saddle Dome when they were announcing the goal, the first goal. Like, it was just crazy how quick it happened. So I do think Mike Smith is a guy that is very proud. He was kind of joking around with the media today, and he's going to be ready to fight. And he's going to fight, like, not fight literally, but just fight for every save and really compete, because he stepped up in game 6 and 7 last series. And I fully expect the same from him, tomorrow night now.
Strutty, you look at the Oilers and what they're capable of. I mean, 97, and I don't disagree. Like, Daryl Sutter said he was the best player on the ice last night. And, you know, I know the Flames had some good performances from Tkachuk and that top line and that. But, like, McDavid, he seems like he's found another level trying to drag this team into it. You know, is it just as simple as the Oilers have to lock it down defensively, have to kind of play a more structured game, or do you need more from kind of that bottom of that roster? Because there's a few guys that I kind of think are skating around out there like contest winners.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no, for sure. There's some, you know, they make a wish. They got a wish. They got to go out and have a skate with the Oilers, right? I mean, it's just, it's not good enough. And I'm going to say this. I don't think last night was a physical contest. You know, Lucic, yeah, he hit McDavid, and so did, I think, Zadorov or Gabranson. But I didn't really think it was that physical. Yeah, there's a few moments of a little bit of spice, but it wasn't a physical contest, and I don't think that the Flames D really felt that pressure. So, you know, if you're not a guy that's going to score goals, and that's fine, you know, the NHL needs different types of players. You've got to find a way to be felt in the game. You know, he didn't really see it a ton from a guy like Archibald or Puljujarvi. Although, you know, he's become pretty hot.
Puljujarvi was a ghost, man.
Yeah, I mean, maybe bringing back a Warren Fogel. These guys, they have to get in, and you have to get in on that forecheck. You just have to. It's not a question of whether I can or I want to. You have to do it, because when you do that, it just gives you a chance to score. Look at the first goal. You know, Kane, physical behind the net, boom, puck pops out. All of a sudden, you know, 2 seconds later, in the net. Like, that's how quick it can happen. And so, you know, I just don't think last night was a physical game. And there were a couple moments, and Lucic was in the middle of it, which he's doing his job. Give the guy credit, he's doing his job. But it has to be shift in, shift out. And don't worry about the fighting or having to fight Lucic. Who cares? If he wants to fight you, just skate away. Like, it's not that hard, right? You just skate away. And so, I just think there's got to be more from all over. And Connor did play well. But, you know, the thing is, everyone in this lineup can play better. You know, maybe put 97 on the side there. But everyone's got another gear. You know, we had centers making plays, standing still. You know, trying to thread the needle through, you know, difficult places. And that's not how they got here, right? And I think you have to review how you arrived at the point you're at. And last night was not that way. So, you know, big opportunity. You can still come back tomorrow, have a good effort, and you come back to tied in Edmonton on Sunday night when Nuno's makes his big return to Rogers Place.
Yeah, that's going to be big. I know people from up and down. What is it, Highway 2?
Highway 2.
Yeah, from Edmonton to Calgary. Everyone's buzzing there. I think it's going to be a salute, man. I think people will be hanging over the bridges while Noodles makes his way from Calgary down to Edmonton, waving NHL flags.
They're hanging a couple of jean jackets off of the overpasses in Red Deer just to, like, recognize Noodles. You know, that was always his move.
There's a couple of gritty bars in Red Deer. I can't remember the name of them, but there's been a few nights in Red Deer.
The lights
had a
will
good
be
time.
On for you when you go through. You can bank on that. But
I doubt it.
What about Draisaitl? Like, that was obviously a big story going into it. You know, his status, whether or not he's healthy, what kind of impact he can have. And it's such a difficult game to really evaluate one thing over the other. But he played 22 minutes last night. He had a goal and 2 assists. I mean, does that mean he's closer to 100% than we thought? Like, what do you make of where Draisaitl's at?
Well, it seemed to me they started him on the wing, and then things go off the rails, and now he's back at center. So, you know, you kind of got to do what you got to do, and you're asking the players, are you okay? And, like, if he just keeps playing, then obviously he is. But, you know, I sprained my ankle twice. Once, my first game professional, I got beat up by a rather large Frenchman with the handlebar mustache, and I was out for quite a while with a sprained ankle. And then later on, I was dunking it in Chicago, dunking on the Bulls court and rolled my ankle when I came down. It was a beautiful dunk, oh dog, but the landing wasn't graceful. So I played on him, and you gotta find a way to play on him. And it's not fun, and it's painful. You ice it, then you tape him up, and then you hopefully take something, take the edge off, and then you go out there and play. And you know, they need him, and I think that when you're somewhat limited physically, you kind of also have to maybe find a way to be not safe, but maybe less creative with the puck. Like, just make sure you're sure of all your plays, because you don't have that explosiveness maybe that's needed all every shift to get back and to make defensive play. So he'll figure it out. He's a smart player. He's one of the most offensive players in the league. But this going through the series, and I actually picked the Flames in six. I think the biggest story was the health of Drysdale, and then those two, Shillington and Tanev. Obviously not quite the same impact, but they're important for that team. And if Drysdale, isn't impactful and able to kind of do what he does because of his health, it's going to make it really hard for the Oilers. And Connor's going to play a ton. He'll be, 25 minutes last night. I can't see that coming down. He's going to be, he'll be spread thin, but he can handle it. But eventually, do you run out of juice? And is it just too much to keep, going back to the same well?
Yeah, that's going to be the question. Yeah, I mean, it's only one game, and it was a wild one, but we'll see what comes of it tomorrow night with Jason Strudwick out there in Edmonton. The Jack Adams nominees were announced today. Gerard Gallant in New York. You got Daryl Sutter in Calgary, and Andrew Brunette, who took over for Joel Quenneville down in Florida, and they won the President's Trophy. They never missed a beat without Q, if anything. They just kept growing and growing and improving and improving. Do you have someone that sticks out for you, Strutty? Who would get your vote if you had a Jack Adams vote with those three guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I feel for Brunette. He inherited a pretty good situation, right? And I think that's a bit disrespectful to a guy, because it's not easy to coach in NHL. I mean, geez, just coaching 10-year-olds is tricky. So I think unfortunately, I think he's out. The Rangers, I think they've had a really good, strong year, but I'm going to go with Calgary. And I watched a lot of their games, the way Daryl operates, and getting Johnny to find another level in his game. I just think that getting really good players to respond to you is an art form. I really think it is. And I've seen it in some different situations. When you get that kind of buy-in from that level of player, and he has his best year, I think that should be recognized. So even though I think Daryl is staying in, he'd vote for Gallant. I think my vote would be with Noodle's former coach and employer, right? Noodle's like, you've got a lot. Yeah. So you're probably pushing that agenda anyway. So,
I actually had a vote. Like, I had a vote. Broadcasters get a vote. So if you full disclosure, I voted for Daryl Sutter, Dean Evason, and Andrew Brunette. Because I think Bruno did a good – like, Florida had an amazing season. They won the President's Trophy. But think of how – this guy's never – been a head coach at the National Hockey League level, and think of this circumstance. Like, that's the that's the thing people learn. Like, it's not like, hey, you earned a job and the coach was struggling, and like it's like we all know what happened. Like, that team could have gone south very quickly. So I went back and looked at it, because I think Gallant deserved it. I think there was a lot of guys that deserved. John Cooper deserves it. I mean, like, look at all these. Jared Bednar, like, what's wrong?
Has
like
John Cooper ever won it, Jamie? Because it seems like this guy, has he has.
I think he won it after the 62-win season. Wasn't it when they got swept by Columbus? I think he won it that year, and they got swept. Well, but I'm pretty sure he won it either that year or the next year when they won the Cup. But I'm pretty sure he's won it.
Yeah, I it was tough this year, and I think Dean Evason. If you look at Minnesota, did anybody see Minnesota being a 100-point team?
And, they had a great year
and having a great season, and their starter Cam Talbot, like that. I'm like, that deserves some love. But there was at least Mike Sullivan. Think of the adversity that Pittsburgh had. Cassidy in Boston. Like, there's some great coaches out there, and I think Daryl. Daryl acknowledged it, that he said, I thought it was funny that he said Gerard Gallant deserves it because he's been jammed up he got jammed up
Florida
in Florida
and Vegas.
And Vegas. Like, he actually, like, took a shot at both of those organizations.
Right.
So, but hey, you know
there's
what?
Every year, there's guys. You can look at five, six, seven guys, and the grappler's saying that Cooper has never won it. Wow.
Yeah. Are you serious?
That's amazing.
Well, he needs more of his former teammates or line mates or former teams to vote for him, like Noodles, right? So it'd help a lot.
That's why he's got the tickets for the game tomorrow night. It all adds up now.
Coach's box.
Yeah, he'll be right up there with Daryl Sutter. Exactly.
Hey, Bruno, I'm coming down to Florida. Can I get your coach's box?
Hey, you know he loves Minnesota, too. That's his former team as well.
Oh,
when
yeah.
you play for this many organizations, you got to keep friends with a lot of them. I mean,
that's
you know,
right.
Well, it is what it is.
Nothing wrong with that.
Just think who Ray Ferraro voted for. If I hear one more Bruno story from Ray Ferraro, I mean, no, I feel like I live with
him. He does love Bruno. Yeah, he's a fan.
Oh, my God. Jesus, he a best man at your wedding? Like,
could have been. All right, Strody, behave yourself out there, all right? Keep your eyes peeled and make sure that you know what Noodles is doing at all times. We need him to return home safe and sound.
I think we're going to try to take a peek Sunday night at Noodles. You don't know that yet, but I think we might just take a quick gander, see what's out there.
Did the Sidetrack Cafe open back up?
It's amateur hour singing. Singing amateur hour. We'll be
karaoke night. We'll be
karaoke
there.
For the boys. There you go. Enjoy it, Strutty. Thank you for doing this.
All right, guys. See you later.
Jason Strudwick.
You don't know it yet, but we're going to go take a peek.
Well, it's a 6 o'clock game Sunday night.
Oh, you guys will be roasted by 10:30.
And it's a long weekend. It's a long weekend on Monday. Town is going to explode on Sunday night.
Yeah. You guys will start in the afternoon, too. I know it. I already know the routine. There'll be some kind of late lunch that bleeds into the game, and you'll be roasted by 10 p.m.
I'm more worried about tomorrow's game because tomorrow is an 8. Is it not an 8:30 start?
Yes.
Tomorrow? Why is it starting so late?
Yeah, that's just – why don't they think of the people in the East? Like, come on. We don't –
No, seriously.
No one ever considers the Eastern time zone. It's absolutely ridiculous.
What about the players out West? No player wants to play at 8:30.
Right.
Like, seriously, your routine. Like, I looked at that. It's a 10:30 Eastern start tomorrow night. Like, the game's at 8:30 local time. Like, that's – I'm sorry. Like, why could you not make that 7 and 9:30 or 7 and 10? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, this is the entertainment business. This is about, you know, people watching.
The only explanation I can think of is you're staggering games and you've got the NBA games. And the thing is, the NBA game, like, tomorrow night is game 2 in Golden State. That's a 9 p.m. tip-off. That's 6 local. They're playing at 6 local. But that could be it. It's that you get the NHL game, then the NBA game goes, and they want, you know, it's ESPN and TNT in the States. They're making the calls, and they want everything staggered. And ESPN and TNT, they have the NBA series as well. So that's what it is. They're like, if the NBA is at this time, we need the NHL at a different time.
I get it, but okay,
which
so
sucks, but
I understand that, and it's way above my pay grade to make these decisions. But I'm just talking about, you know, you want to keep viewership engaged, and you know, McDavid, the Golden Goose, is playing. He's playing at 10:30 tomorrow night Eastern.
I know it's
and people
it's
in
goofy.
Newfoundland and that, like, they're gonna have to. It's midnight before they're even. You know, the puck's dropped. Like,
midnight
that's tough.
Puck drop in St. John's. Yeah, they'll stay up, though. They know what's
they
up
will,
out there
but
for
I
a long
get
weekend
it.
On a Friday. We got Duthie coming up. Steve Sands will help us break down the first round of the PGA Championship. The Jays are off. They lost last night. The bats were ice cold again. We'll get into that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Hazy, we've been pumping the stealth up. And you can't do what Rory does, but you've got to – someone just sent a tweet describing the distances of this guy hitting the stealth. Like, are we getting into an era where they're hitting it 378 off the tee with a driver?
He is crushing the ball. Like, he
And I know
is...
it's hot there, but, like, come on.
Yeah.
That's gross. That's actually gross, hitting it
really
that
is.
Far.
It really is. Like, there are guys who are, you know, long drive contestants, right? There's some guy... what is his name? Berkshire is his last name. He's got the long hair, and he wins it every year. And he hits a golf ball, like, honestly, 440 yards or something off the tee. Like, it's insane the way – like, it's so violent how this guy swings. And he obviously can control it to the extent where he can qualify in a long drive. But that, like, that's what Bryson's been trying to do, right? Like, just – it's picking up your swing speed. It's just picking it up and up and up. And then when you conflate that with technology that's through the roof, like what TaylorMade pumps out, you get guys hitting 360 off the tee. These courses, there's only so much more they can do, right? Like, there's only so much you can do.
Dude, there's no more real estate.
Yeah, there's no more real estate. Like, they already expanded Southern Hills. Like, guys that played this course 30 years ago, they were hitting it 260 off the tee.
Yeah, and Hayes, to put it into perspective, that par 5 at your course, Coppinwood, kind of over a gorge, I think it's like number 7 or 8 or something, he would be hitting driver with a flip wedge. Look at these numbers.
Oh,
that's
no, it's
outrageous.
Gross. It's gross, man. I know. We'll
334, 350. It's stupid.
378. Like, he's probably downhill, but it's wild what this guy's doing out there. And McIlroy's currently in the lead. So that more coming up in hour 2. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.